Okay, today's daf is Chagiga daf Chav Gimel, and we are up to the third of the 11 differences that the Mishnah quoted at the beginning of the parak. We are up to the three lines from the bottom on Chav Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us Hanose Es Hamedris, Nose Es Hatruma. So, difference number three was that if there is a person carrying Tuma in one hand, somebody is Nosi Es HaMedrash, can they carry something Kodesh in the other hand? So the Mishnah says they're allowed to carry Truma, but they're not allowed to carry Kadshim. So again, the Gemara now goes through what is the reason for this Gezerah, and whatever the reason is, we have to explain why it would not apply to Truma, why it only applies to Kadshim. If it's such a good reason, why isn't it across the board? So the Gemara says, Kodesh by time alone, why isn't somebody allowed to carry something that is Tami Medris, something that is Zav sat on in one hand, and carry some item in the other hand? What's the problem? Mishamaisa Shahaya. Because of the story, to Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because of the following story, they made such a gzeira. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Maisa Be'echad, Shahaya Ma'avir Chavishal Yayin Kodesh, Mimakom Lamakom. There was someone who was carrying a barrel of Kodesh wine. Let's say somebody was Maktish, a barrel of wine to give for Nisa Chayayin, which, by the way, could also be part of the answer of our discussion from yesterday. Like, what could you have that something is Kodesh that an Am Ha'aretz is giving to the Kohen? It could be Kodesh wine, it could be Kodesh oil, besides the type of cases that we tried to say yesterday in terms of the parts of the animal. So let's say you have a barrel of Kodesh wine. Mi makom la makom, you take it from place to place. Vinifsaka rutsuas osadalo, there was a story, and then the strap of his sandal broke. Strap of the sandal. Vinatla, and he took it, and let's say he was a zav. Right? Rashi says, Medrash hazav haisa. Right, he was walking on this sandal, so the sandal is an item that is usually walked on or sat on or underneath the Zav. And what happened? Vinatlav, he didn't want to leave the strap somewhere. He wanted to take it so that he could fix it when he gets to wherever he's going. And he took it in his hand. Vinatlav, vehinich al pi achavis, and he put it on the top of the barrel that he was holding. Vinafla la avir achavis, and it didn't stay on top, but it went into the airspace of the barrel. And the barrel was a cheres barrel. So that is why now the cheres barrel and all of its contents become tameh. Because as we know, Kli Cheres is b'tameh may avi roven itmeis, and therefore all the Kodesh wine became tameh. And Bosa Sha'amru, and that's why, because of this story, Chachzal made a gzeira, ha-nosei es ha-medrus, nosei es ha-truma, avalo es ha-kodesh. It applies to Kodesh, because as we'll see, that's what the case was about, but it does not apply to truma. Good. Is this a real chash? Are we really worried about this? The Chazon Ish points out in Arachayim, in Kuf Chavtes, if this was a real worry, chshash, then we should have made the gzeira even before the story. The fact that we didn't make the gzeira until after the story means it's not something that we're so concerned about. And that's why, A, we didn't make the gzeira until after the story. B, we only made it by the case of the story itself, as we'll see by the Shem in a minute, Kodesh and not Truma. And C, says the Chazish, as we'll see in a couple of more lines, there is a machlokes, but according to some Amoraim, if you did it, Chazal did not make this Tuma me'akeves. Meaning, if you did it, they didn't say, oh, it became Tameh, because you violated what we said. If you did it, Tar, as long as it didn't come into the airspace. So those three elements, they didn't make the Gzeira before the story. They limited the Gzeira. And even with the Gzeira, they didn't give it such teeth. Meaning, as we'll see in Avar Vinasa Tar, says the Chazon Ish, all of that points to the fact that this isn't such a strong shash that we have. Niratayma kivin to lo amru rak mishamaisa shahaya umashma shein roy ligzar misvara lule hama ora velachin sagi lasser lachadchila. That's what the Chazon Ish points out in our daf. The Gemara though does discuss here the Rishonim are bothered. What exactly are we worried about that the strap of the sandal is going to rip off and then is going to be metame everything else? Is the strap of the sandal tame? It's just a piece of garbage, right? It's a strap. Ask Tosfos. It's not a kli anymore. It's just a strap of the sandal. Top Tosfos. Afa gav de gami tuma ksiv kli. Even though regarding tuma, it says the word kli. V'hai ritzu alav kli. What's mitame on a daraisa level? a person is metame, any of the avos hatumas are metame, a kli is metame, food is metame, tumas ochlin, but something that's not food and it's not a kli, it's not going to be metame. Why should we say the strap of the sandal is metame? And that's what we're worried about. The strap is going to rip off. You're going to carry the strap. It's going to go into the airspace of the barrel. But the strap is not metame anyway. Says the Tosfos, Midalos Sharinon Leilatalto, Beverke Luksharim. After all, if you look in Misach Shabbos, you cannot, once you are Ritsua, once you are a strap of the sandal rips off, it becomes Muksa. So therefore, you see it's not a kli, so why would it be metame here? So Tosfos quotes, Sarich Lamar, Lameimar, Kigon de Nishtayer Bahach Ritsua, de Ikamana de Hedyo Yocholat Zero. It must be a strap that even a simpleton would be able to put it back on. It wasn't like something that you have to take it to the shoemaker, that you need a professional. It's a strap, but it's not, it must have like fallen off, like the belt buckle ripped off, and you just don't have time to stop right now to put it back on. But it's very simple to put it back on. If that's the case, then it's still considered part of the shoe, part of the sandal, and that is why it is still metame. That is the language of the Meiri here, quoting Tosfos as Deya, Nechshav Adayin Kechelek Mimena. So considered part of the sandal, and that's why it is metame. Tosfos does quote at the end that there's another girsa in the Yerushalmi, not Venifsa Ritsua Shel Sandalo, but just Venifsa Sandalo, that the whole sandal was what broke, and then he carried the sandal. So that makes it a little better, because it is the sandal itself, and not just the strap. So the Tosfos brings up that a piece, let's say if you have a part of a sandal, a part of an item that rips off, that really doesn't have any purpose, so that would be muksa. Tosfos quotes that from Shabbos, and compares that to Hilchos Tumah. The Gemara there in Shabbos, and a few times in Misach Shabbos, if you remember, discusses the relationship. You don't always compare. We don't always compare in halacha Tumah and Shabbos. Sometimes something can be a kli lagabi one area of halacha and not lagabi another area of halacha. Right? So we have that by muksa as well. Just as one example. Again, we could spend a lot of time on this, but just give one example regarding items that rip off. What about buttons? Let's say I'm walking and a button fell off my shirt or fell off my suit. Am I allowed to pick up that button? What if I'm in the middle of the street? Then I want that because I want to put it on after Shabbos. So do I say, well, a button can be used as a toy, so am I allowed to have that? Am I allowed to have that a button in my pocket? So says the Shmir Shabbos in Simin Chaf Ches. Says the Shmir Shabbos, this is the new version, the second volume of the Shmir Shabbos, Tesvav Ayin Beis, there the context is all Divrei Muksa, says the Shmir Shabbos, Aser Lahasir Kaftar Min HaBeged. One is not allowed to remove a button from a beged. Not allowed to remove, let's say I see it's falling off. The button is hanging by a thread, literally. So, am I allowed to take it off? No. It's still connected. If it's still connected, am I allowed to take it off? That's Korea. Afiluim nisrofei fachut mehamachabro. Even if the string got loose and it's hanging, I'm not allowed to remove it. V'chein asur lahasir eschutei atfira shenisharu acharei nishiras hakaftar. Even if there are strings, I'm not allowed to remove it. V'akaftar atzmo kishen nafal. And the button itself, if it falls off, mutar l'taltalo. V'ein bo misha muksa. The Shmir Shabbos says, me ikra din it is not muksa. Not muksa. Ap tov lahachmir bazet. Mikivet shekha'es in a royal kol shimush. L'chadchila, one shouldn't handle it if one can. Meaning, if you're at home, and you could just kick it under the couch, that would be better. But if you're in the middle of the street, make it a din, you're allowed to take it. Why is that? Why is it not mixed up? So he quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Muksa, that me'ikir hadin, one wouldn't have to, because there's a similar case in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Ches is all Muksa, Shin Yud Ches is Bishul, Shin Ches is Muksa. The Shulchan Aruch says there, kol ha'kelim anitalim b'Shabbos, any kli that is not Muksa, dal so sehen, shen isparku mehem nitalin. If you have a door, if you have a drawer of a kli that can be put on, that's not considered muksa being separated from its original kli. Bein shen isparku b'chol, bein shen isparku b'Shabbos. Whether you separated it on before Shabbos or even on Shabbos, it's mutter. Why? Because it's it's nigrar after the main kli that it's part of. The dalso sakli. So the Shmir Shabbos says, same thing with the button, it's nigrar after the beged itself, and that's why it is not a problem. Shneya muchanim betiltol agav avihem, says the Shmir Shabbos. And then he continues and says, kaftar nigra achrei beged umutol taltolo. V'yamar gadar Rishlom Zalman oyer bachzatzal, and Rishlom Zalman told me, shema kaftar shenasher min abeged hu pashut umatsui. If it is a common button that could be replaced very easily, it's not a fancy, unique type of button. Let's say it's a shirt. A shirt button, which is the simple, clear buttons that you could get in any tailor. So that's not really such a tzorich. So that's not really directly connected to this item. It's not so uniquely needed. If you don't really need it. If it's a soup button, if it's a type of button that is unique and you really dafka want this one, and you can't find this one everywhere, so then that will not be muksa maker adin. That's similar to the dlassos that are muchan agav avien, says the Shmir Shabbos, based on that Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinches, and therefore the button would not be muksa. Again, but this relates to the issue of the ritsua that got ripped off from the sandal.
Does it make it closer to
chesron kiss? Maybe if it's chesron kiss, then it will be very chamor. Right? Well, chesron kiss, we know there are different levels of muksa. Chesron kiss is one of the more chamor levels of muksa. Miman of shach, if it's at a place where you're going to lose it, and you want to put it in some way. Lechatchila, the best way is not to take it directly. Lechatchila, to kick it somewhere under a bench, somewhere where it's going to be needed. If not, so me'ikra did, it seems that it works for your benefit, because the more unique it is, you might say it's chesro kis, then the more it's not muksa. Because, you could pick it up because it's a muchan agav the beged that you're going to attach it to. Okay, interesting, they don't even bring up the fact that kids play with buttons sometimes. You have a couple of buttons, the kids can make a tower with it, they could use it as a toy. That's not even brought up here. Don't even need that to say it is, right, it wasn't muchan for that beforehand. Right, if it was connected to the shirt beforehand. Okay, so that was just a little tangent related to Tosis. Now we get back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the reason that we're worried that we don't allow the person to carry the sandal in a case where he's carrying the can't carry the part of the sandal in a case where the ritsua here is kodesh, on the other hand, is because of this gzeira. Says the Gemara now, ihachi trumanami. What about truma also? Why don't we say truma too? We're worried about the kodesh wine becoming tame, maybe even truma wine we should be worried about becoming tame. Parenthetically, what about kohanim zrizim heim? Why don't the Kohanim Zrizim Heim, and therefore they're not going to be, we don't have to be worried about any of this? The answer is, as the Kohanim say, Kohanim Zrizim Heim means we don't think if there's something that they have to get done, we assume they're going to do it. If it's something that we're worried about that might happen without their knowing even, or without their focusing on it, then you don't apply Kohanim Zrizim Heim. Zrizim Heim means if they're actively doing something, they're going to get it done. Right? Kohanim Zrizim Heim, therefore the karban that you brought is going to be brought by Chatzos, or whatever the case is. That's why it wouldn't apply here. So we say, Yaki Trumanami. Even Truma, we should say, you're not allowed to carry in the other hand. Answers the Gemara, Hamani, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, he knows, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, who has the approach elsewhere, that whenever you make a gzera based on a story, you limit it to the exact details of the story. Like the following case where he only said it applies in the Jordan River, in a boat, and like the exact story that took place. Mahi, what was that talking about? As follows. Titanya, lo yisa adam mechatas ve'eferchatas v'yavirin biyardein ubisvina. One shouldn't carry. Let's say there is someone who is going to make somebody tahar. Somebody became tamei meis, so he is going to bring the ashes of the paraduma and the spring water that's going to be used to mix in. He's passing it through the. He's not allowed to pass it through the Yarden on a boat. Velo yamod b'tzad zev. He's not allowed to throw it across. It's not allowed to leave the ground. Not allowed to leave. The mechatas and the efer chatas are not allowed to leave someone who has his feet on the ground. V'lo yashitim al pnei amayim. You're not allowed to float it across water. V'lo yirkav al gabe behema. And you're not allowed to ride it. Somebody carrying it is not allowed to ride on an animal. V'lo al gabe chavero. Ella imkein hayuraglav nogos bekarka. Unless your feet are on the ground, it is a problem. Aval ma'avir al gabe agesher. If you're walking across a bridge, that's okay. Because you're still on the ground. You're still not on the ground, but on a surface. Right? That is okay. Ve'eno choshesh achar, ve'eno choshesh, echad ayardi ve'echad shar ha'naharos. The Tanakhama says, whatever the reason is, it applies to all bodies of water. There are no chilukim or distinctions. Rechanani ben akavya omer, no. Lo asru ela beyardin ubisvina ukemaisa shahaya. It only applies to the specific case, to the Jordan River, to a boat, and like the story that occurred. Remember, very limited, like the Chazon Ish's words before, because the whole thing is an extension that we're not really worried about. That's why we limit it. My Maisa Shahaya, what was the story? Dabar view the Maraf. Maisa Badam Echot Shemaver Mechatas, the Efer Chatas Beyardin Ubisvina. There was somebody that was caking and carrying this Mechatas and Efer Chatas in their suitcase across the Yardin in a boat, v'nimsa kezayis meis tachuv bekar keisa shal svina, and they found a kezayis of a mace, which is metame ohel. They found it in the flooring of the boat. So the tuma went up, and when the mechadas, the efer chadas passed over it, then remember, it's very, very valuable. The mechadas, the efer chadas, you know, only how many paradumas are there? And you find a paraduma, you want to be able to use all of the ashes. So if it comes to Tommy, forget it, you're finished. So that's what happened. So Bosa Shah Amru, Lo Yisa Adam Echadas Vefrechadas V'yavirim B'yardin U'besfina. So they limited, they made the gzer, but they limited it to the exact details of the case. Good. Asks the Turei Evan, how did that, we just asked before, how was the strap of the sandal mitame? It's not a kli, it's not food. So Turei Evan asks the same question here. The ashes of the paraduma, that's not food, that's not a kli. Why would it become tame? We know, the only things that become tame are people, and kalim, and ochlin. What else becomes tame? If it's not any of those three, so why, ask the Turei Evan, why is it that the ashes became tame at all? Or that is his, that's his question here that he doesn't really, he tries to answer a little bit. He's not happy with the answer, but we'll read his answers. Become makom sarach tam. Kivadeino ochel ela efer ba'alma ma'ima kabelos tumas ochlin. Why is it tame? See, he quotes the principle of chibas hakodesh. What's chibas hakodesh? Came up back in Psachim. Chibas hakodesh means that sometimes, because of the beloved nature of kodshim, we are allowed to break normal rules that apply in other areas of halacha. And that's the principle called Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh applies in Psachim in two different cases. This is the Minchas Chin of Sa'ara. You find two different types of rules that are able to be broken. It's not a big rules of Tumah V'Tahara. That's where Chibas HaKodesh is applied. Where is it applied? Number one, the Minchas Chin points out in Kuf Mem Hei. The Minchas Chin says, sometimes Chibas HaKodesh allows you to look at something that is not an Ochel to be considered Ochel. It's considered Ochel enough that it can be Bekabel Tumah. It's so beloved. You love this so much. It's given significant status, even though normally it's not given significant status in other areas of halacha. That's the principle of chibas hakodesh. It doesn't have a shem ochel, and it's considered a shem ochel. Number one, the Minchas Chinuch though points out that there's another type of chibas hakodesh. That is where you have an ochel, but it is not mikabel tuma because it wasn't hukshar yet. It did not become wet with one of the seven liquids. Chibas HaKodesh allows us to say we're allowed to view it as if it was already Hukshar Lekabel Tuma. That's the second context where we find Chibas HaKodesh. Two different types of Chibas HaKodesh. Says the Menachas Chinuch, there's a Machlokas, Rashi, Tosfos, and Psachim, that all the Akronim quote, Machlokas, whether this is Dinda Rice or Dinda Rabbanan. Says the Menachas Chinuch, no, I'm going to make Shalom in Yisrael. I think they're talking about two different types of Chibas HaKodesh. The first type of Chibas HaKodesh that gives something a shame, Ochel, that's the Dinda Rice. It doesn't have a shem ochel, and it's given a shem ochel. But something that's not hokshel lekabel tumah, it's as if it got wet. So says the Minchas Chinuch, that's much more of a chiddush. Why would you say it's hokshar? So to give it a certain status, fine, I can understand that. Even though it's a chiddush, that's the gzeiras hakasef of chibas hakodesh. But if it's not mekabel tumah, so then you say, oh, now it's mekabel tumah. That's an added chiddush, says the Minchas Chinuch, and therefore I think that's the Durabanan one. Yishrein Yonim Bechibas HaKodesh. Echad af de'ein ochel klal could go in eight symbol of ona, wood and frankincense. De'ein makabel tuma bechol makom kiven de'ein ochel umashke mikol makom gabi kodesh mar be'al pasik kan v'habasar de makabel tuma. One. The od yesh ochlin de makabel tuma bechol makom rak tzarech hechsher mayim oshiva mashkin v'gamke mevor b'makomos hanal techibas hakodesh machshir ki'ilu ba'alei mayim. And then he has this important line, l'anias daiti zenachon mitzara svar da'at but the next step I find a huge chiddush, and maybe that's only Durabanan. I just might add to the Minchas Chinuch that depending on what approach you take to Hekshar L'Kabel Tumah, it might make it a little better. Meaning there's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch. Maybe the Rambam also. What's the lumdis for something having to become wet before it becomes B'Kabel Tumah? Why is that? So the Ramban writes in Sefer Vayikra, well, there are spiritual pores that need to be opened in order for the tumah to be able to go in. And that's what the liquid does. It becomes wet, so now the spiritual pores are open. Okay, Kabbalistic idea, but that's the Ramban. But if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, and if you look in Rashi, in Vayikra, what the Sefer HaChinuch says, it does not get a shame ochel until it becomes wet. And he gives the mashal. A lot of us, say the Sefer HaChinuch, wouldn't eat a fruit or a vegetable before we wash it off, because it was dirty and we want to wash it off. So that's the similar idea. It doesn't get the status of a food yet. You're right, our kids wouldn't care about washing it. But because many people would wash it, says the Sefer HaChinuch, it doesn't get a shame ochel. If you say that's the lumdus for Hekshar L'Kabel Tumah, then I have now brought very close together the two types of Chibas HaKodesh. What was the first type? Giving something a Shem Ochel. What was the second type? Making it Ke'ilu, it was Hekshar L'Kabel Tumah. But if you say Hekshar L'Kabel Tumah means gives it a Shem Ochel, it's basically the same idea. And therefore, even the Minchas Chinuch says there's two different types. In lumdus, it could all be the one conceptual idea. And even if the Minchas Chinuch is right, that one's the Raisa, one's the Rabbanan. It's Kein Daraisa Tikkun. The Rambanan pattern there, Chiddush, after the Din Daraisa of Chibas HaKodesh. That is an important Ta'ara, but that's what the Torah Evan suggests here. Why are the ashes B'Kabel Tumah at all? Right? They're not an Ochel, they're not a Kli. Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh gives it a shame. Gives it a shame Ochel. Good. We continue. Says there's a Brisker Rav also, if you want to look in the Lumdus of Chibas HaKodesh in Hilchas Para. On the Rambam, look it up on page Samach Gimel in the Sefer of the Brisker Rav. But now we continue. Says the Gemara Bailu, a couple of last questions. Sandal Tameh, Sandal Tahar Mahu. Fine, the Gzeira applies to a Tameh sandal. You're not allowed to carry this Tameh sandal with the Kodesh in the other hand. What about a Sandal Tahar? Does the Gzeira also apply to that case? Chavis psucha, chavis stuma mahu. Fine, it applies to an open barrel. What about to a closed barrel? Avra v'nasa mahu. Rebbe Ela, what if you did it? So the Chazanish referred to before. If you did it, were they metame b'dievet? Rebbe Ela, amarim avra v'nasa tame. Yes. Because the Rabbanan gave teeth to their Gzeiras. And Rebbe Zeira, amar avra v'nasa tar. They did it because it is somewhat more of a far-fetched Gzeira. The Rosh Hashir says, we never find anywhere a halacha that you have to be barefoot when you carry kachim. So even this suggestion, he says, is very unusual. So what are you going to wear? What are you going to wear? They make a gzera that you're not allowed to do it. You might come to carry it. Right, so that's the interesting. He says, what's going to happen if you rip off? So anyway, you can look at that Rosh Hashir, who talks about the only when you get there, you might have to be barefoot, but not on your way. Okay, Viter. Next context, Kelim HaNigmarim. So now we get to, if you remember, we discussed the middle two, so we're skipping those now. Those were about Chatzit. So now we get to number six in the Mishnah. That was a Kli. That was Nigmar B'Tahara. You finished a Kli, and it was totally Tahar. It still needs to be Tovel if you can use it for Kachem, but not for Truma. So why? D'Gamrinu Man. Who completed this Kli? Who was the artisan? Ilema degam rinu chaver. Was it a Talmud Chacham? Somebody knows the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. So lamalut tefila. So why would you have to be tovel it? Right? He watched over it. El degam rinu amaretz. So it must be the amaretz finished it. So nigmar v'tahara kari lahu. If the amaretz finished it, then it wasn't nigmar v'tahara. So what do you mean? Why are you calling it nigmar v'tahara? So amar Rabba bar Sheila, amar Rav Masna, amar Shmuel laolam degam rinu chaver. No, the chaver was. Did finish it. So what are you worried about? Umishim tsinora da'ama aretz denafal. You worried that there was some type of liquid of an am ha'aretz, which we give the status of tamei, just like this an am ha'aretz considered tamei because he's not makpid. The liquid that come out of his body, his spit, his saliva, anything. Let's give that example. We're worried that maybe while he was making the kli, as we'll see, an am ha'aretz came by to shmooze with the chaver. You know, sometimes when we talk, you know, we spit, when some saliva comes out of our mouth when we talk. So some of that got onto the kli. And, one more detail, Amos, when are we worried that it got on? Ilema mikami de ligmare, if it got on before it was finished, halah manahu, it's not makabel tumah yet. It's not a kli yet. Ela basar da agmare, afterwards, mizar zarbahu. But if it's afterwards, now the chaver is going to be focused, that nothing from the am ha'aretz gets on it. So la'ola mikami de gamre, it was before he finished it. V'dilma be'idna de gamre adayan lachahi. We're worried that he was swabbing the amaretz before, a couple hours ago, but they're still moist. And it still would have the status of being metame if it is still moist. So that's the case in the Mishnah. You need require tefillah. This chumrah, again, it's a chshash that maybe the liquid got on. So because it's only a chshash, it only applies to kachim, the higher standard. It does not apply to truma. But now the Gemara is medayik. Tevila in ha'arev shemesh lo. The fact that the Mishnah says that after you finish this kli, and it's tar, chazal were still gozer, or misakein, that you have to be tovelit. That's all the Mishnah says. It does not say you have to wait. Say that you have to wait till nightfall to use the kli. So it's clear that the takana derabanan was only you need tefila, not ha'arev shemesh. So who is that like? Masnisan delok Rebbe Lazar. The Mishnah must not be like Rebbe Lazar, because we're going to prove in another couple of lines that Rebbe Lazar must hold that the takana was not only to tovel it, but to wait till nightfall. Where do we see Rebbe Lazar holds that way? In a totally different context. Ditnan, the Mishnah says in Meseches Para, Shvoferes Shachat Chalachatas, let's say someone cut a reed. Shvoferes, we had Shvoferes Hanod a couple of days ago. You have a cut a reed in order, because you want to be able to transport the mechatas in something. They didn't have containers in those days. So how do you transport it? So you're going to put it, you cut a reed, you hollow it out, then you're going to put it in there in order to transport. So you cut a reed in order to use for the chatas. So you're basically making a kli. You're cutting the reed. So Rebbe Lazar Omer Yitzbo Miyad. Rebbe Lazar says, right after you cut it, you have to be tovel it right away. Because all items that are used in the process of the chatas are considered, right, that are makabel toma, tun and tefillah, they need tefillah, and you use it right away. Use it right away, as we'll see why, because, again, we'll see it, let's just wait why. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Yitma Vakach Yitma, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, first you have to be metame it, and then tovel it. They both say you have to tovel it right away, but that day. Why? Because as we'll see, right, we've had this yesod before, the tztukim assumed that you're not allowed to use something that's tameh, something that's tvul yom. They have to wait till sunset. You're not allowed to use that in the process of paraduma. And we say you're allowed to. So therefore, we bedafka use something that is a tvul yom, that you didn't wait till sunset in the process, to show that they're wrong. Like we find in a few areas of halacha that we want to show that the tztukim are wrong publicly by the karbana omer, and by other contexts. So the question, the machlokas here just is, of course you have to tovel it and use it right away. But you have to be metami at first, and then use it and then tovel it? Or could you say, well, because me derabanan, it requires tefillah, it's considered as if it's tameh. You don't have to actually be metameh yet. That's the machlokas between Rebbe Yeshua and Rebbe Lazar. V'havinan batach hatochan man. And we have the same discussion that we have in our Mishnah, we had over there. Who cut it? When was it cut? Ilema dechatcha chaver lamali tefillah. If a chaver cut the reed, so what do you need tefillah for? It's totally tar. Ve'el dechatcha ma'aretz b'halim Rabbi Yeshua yitma v'yitbo ha'tami v'kai. What, so an amaretz cut it? Then of course it's tami right away. Why would you have to be the tami at first? So v'amar abba bar sheila amar rav ma'asa amar shmuel la'olam dechatcha chaver v'mishem tzinor et amaretz enafal. Same thing, we're worried about the saliva of an amaretz that got on it. Amos, when? Ilema mikami delechatcha, before it got cut, while it was still attached, mechubar halamanu. It's not a kli yet. Ve'alabazar dechatcha, mizar zarba, isn't he careful? La'ola mikami delechatcha, dilma be'idna dechatcha, dain lachahi. Same mitzius that we discussed in our Mishnah is discussed on that Mishnah in Para. That the achaver cut this reed. We're worried he was talking to an amaretz an hour ago, and it's still possibly tamei So that is why there's a machlokas, whether you have to be metami at first and then tovel it, or tovel it right away. Right? The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnah, is on that Mishnah, what's the nekudas machlokas about here? Is a tumah derabbanan enough for our context of toveling it in front of the stukim? Because after all, the stukim don't care about tumah derabbanan. Amazing. So even if you want to say, usually, we have a general, major shas topic, we've touched on many times. If the Rabbanan say something, is it recognized on a Daraisa level? Right? If something is a sukkah, pasul Rabbanan, is it as if I'm not sitting in a sukkah on a Daraisa level? We have it in many contexts. So here, you might say it's a general yisod. If it's a tumah Rabbanan, it's enough. The Rambam says, no, here there's an extra layer of lundis, and that is that stukim themselves don't believe in tumas derabanan. So maybe even if you say usually a tumas derabanan is significant, but here maybe it's not, because the stukim themselves don't hold of it. So anyway, that's the lundis of the machlokas. But now we get to our question. So we brought in the machlokas of Yeshua and a blazer from elsewhere, whether you have to be metamiyat. So according to Blazer, what does he say? You just tovel it. So, bish the mother of Yeshua. According to Rabbi Yeshua, I understand what you're doing differently today, and that will prove to the tzedukim that they are wrong. You have to be doing something different than you usually do. So that's according to Rabbi Yeshua, I understand. Why? Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shahainu Deika Hekera Letzedukim. There's a Hekera. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says, Mitamanayim Asakoin Esapara. We, the Rabbanim, were Mitami, the Kohen that burned the Paraduma, and then they put him in the mikveh. They did not wait till sunset. Why? Lahotzi Milibin Shalstukim. To go against the Tzedukim. Shahayu Omrim. Because the Tzedukim said, Bimma Urve Shemesh Haisanasis. That the Avodah Paraduma had to be done with one who already had nightfall, who was already already had Harif Shemesh. Machlokas, we've shown him what exactly, why exactly they said that. Rashi here says that they had a misguided extra word that they darshan. Chazal darshaned an extra word, which they didn't darshan. Right, Rashi quotes it here. Rashi quotes, the Hiza had Tahar ala Tameh, Tahar Mechlal Shehu Tameh. Right, it must be that he was Tameh, Liman al Tful Yom Shekasher Bepara. So Rashi quotes, we have an extra vihiza hatar to teach it to us. The Bartanura there in Para quotes another chazal that maybe the Tzukim darshined an incorrect Rasha. Right, they darshined an incorrect Rasha. Let me just read it quickly. He quotes here, she darshin ba'asaf ish tahor, ein tahor elish erev shimsha. They made up a drasha. V'cheinu omer uba shemesh v'tahar. V'chachav v'kibu the Torah omer b'varshas chatos Torah l'maiser ka'amar. Meaning it's Torah for maiser sheni, which means still even before ha'arev shemesh. So whatever the drasha is, that was the machlokas between the tzedukim and the prushim. So they made him tamei. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, I understand how there will be a difference. Because what did Rabbi Yeshua say? You make him tamei today and then you let him do the avoda. So it's clear they're going to like, oh my gosh, wow, he still needs Harif Shemesh, and he's doing the Avoda. That's not normal. So that's going to show that they're wrong. El the Rabbi Lazar, but according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that they're not mitameh him, right? They just put it into a mikvah. So so you have a kli that was completed that you put in a mikvah. What's the normal rule? So if you say that Rabbi Lazar holds that normally you need to put in a mikvah and you need to wait till sunset to use the kli, so let's do him. Now, so you see that this is a rule breaker. Usually, when you finish a kli, you have to put it in a mikvah and wait till sunset. And here, we're allowing you to use it before sunset. That's how it's going to prove a hecker to the tzedukim. Ela'i amrit ba'alma. But if you say, Rabbi Lazar agrees with the pashas of our Mishnah, that all you need is to dunk it in the mikvah, lo binan harif shemesh, by a careless tzedukinika. Then you're not doing anything different than normally. This is a takana derabanan that you need to put into a mikvah and then use it. So if Rabbi Lazar agrees to the pashas of our Mishnah, then what's the hecker? That's why we assume, it must be Rabbi Lazar requires Harif Shemesh also, and he's against our Mishnah. That's the diuk. Answers the Gemara, not so fast. By the way, the Pnei Yeshua discusses in Yuma, back on Daf Beis, where this Mishnah part is also quoted, why Dafka we say the Kohen Hasoref as a para, we make Tameh. Right, there are a lot of Kohenim that are involved in the Avoda of the Paraduma. Dafka Hasorif, the one that carry it, the one that pick up the ashes, the Osef, right? So Dafka, the Soref is the one. So he talks about it there, because Dafka, in the context of the Machlokas, that's the one, that's where the Machlokas is, based on the Chazal. that they darshan incorrectly, they assume it's dafka connected to the sreifa. So anyway, isn't our Mishnah against Rabbi Elazar? Amar Rav, no. Even if in general Rabbi Elazar says that if a kli that you make for kodesh, you don't need Harif Shemesh. That's our Mishnah. In general, kalim that you make for kodesh, you don't need Harif Shemesh. But kalim for mechatos, that's different. That you might need Harif Shemesh. We mentioned, remember, at the beginning of the parak, we have all the different levels of chulin, meiser sheni, truma, kachim, mechatos. Mechatos has even a higher standard. So Blazer would say our mission is about kachim in general. Kachim in general, a kli that you make for kachim in general has to be tovel, and then you could use it. For mechatos, there, you would have to go another step and wait for Harif Shemesh. So it is a rule breaker. So what does that mean? Asa'u ketame sheretz. They gave the kli the status of something that became tame through a sheretz. A sheretz is an avatuma. So they gave it the status of a rishon, and therefore you have to wait. You have to wait for Harif Shemesh. Good. Elamayata says the Gemara, 1 minute. They gave the kli the status of a tame sheretz, a rishon. Elamayata lo tame adam. Then it shouldn't make an adam tame. Right, and what's the rule? An adam is only tame from an avatoma. So they shouldn't make a person tame. Alabatanya, why do we have in the brisa chotcha umatbila ta'un tfila? Even the one that is cutting it and is matbil it, right? Maybe part of the chok of paraduma, right? Ta'un tfila. Even the one that is involved in it. So how could this make the person tame? Right, the person is if the item is a tum, is given the status midrabanan of a tamei sheretz, which is a rishon. How can I make the person tamei? So the Gemara says, okay, bump it up one. The ela asa'uhu kitamei mace. They give it the status of a tamei mace, meaning an avatoma, and then it makes the person a rishon. Fine. So ihachi, 1 minute. If you're really giving it the status of an av, so go all the way. Tiba'i hazah shlishi v'shvi. So the person who touches it should become Tamei for 7 days and need to be sprinkled with the ash of the Baradum itself on day 3 and 7. Right? If you're giving it the status fully Midrabanan, and if we say Ke'en to Araisa Tikkun, Alamatanya, why do we say the one that cuts it is Chot Kluma Bila Ton Tvila? Tvila in Azosh Lishi Vishvilo. He doesn't need that far. So first we said, how could it work? And now we're saying it works so well that you should go across the board and require Hazah on day 3 and day 7. So the Gemara says, Asa'u ketamei meis v'shvi shalo. They give it the status of tamei meis on its last day. Okay. And therefore, it is the person who touches it is only tamei for that day. Meaning, and they give it the status of a tamei who is on the seventh day, who already got Hazah, who already received Hazah. So it's after that. So there is a very much discussed comment right here of the Rishash. It's tucked away here. Chagiga Chav Gimel Amabes. Says the Rishash, wow, that's pretty fascinating. So if somebody becomes Tamei Mace, let's say somebody was Tamei Mace, they touched a dead body, and they're Tamei Mace for 7 days, and I come in contact with them on day 7 after they went to the mikvah. So that I'm not Tamei for 7 days? I touched a Tamei Mace. So I'm not Tamei in that regard? Says the Rishash, it's interesting. What is the Gemara assuming? That you can't become more Tamei than the person who's being Matamei you, or the item that's being Matamei you. That is what the Gemara is assuming. What happens if, ask the Rishash, what happens if there's a Zav, or a Zava, somebody who's counting 7 days, and I touch them on day 4? Right? Let's say a Boel Nida, but on day 6 of her Nidus. How long are they Tamei for? The Gemara seems to say in Nida, Havamina, that you would be Tamei, what's called Yala Laragla, you would only be Tamei for as long as their Tamei was left. Kamashlan, you don't say that, based on a Pasik. So says the Rishash, it's only because it's Xeris Akasuv over there. But in general, like by Tamei Mace, you'd only be Tamei as long as what's left for the person who is making you Tamei. Says the Rishash right here, Ani basi ladun bedavar chadash, v'hu, dim naga adam o kelim bekelim shenitmu b'meis b'yom zayin shalahem, achar hazah, kodem tevila, on a Daraisa level. Forget Argamar is on a Darabana level. But on a Daraisa level, says the Rishash, if I touch somebody who was Tamei Meis on day 7 after hazah, yalu luraglam ve'enam tu'unim rak tevila v'harif shemesh kamohem. Unbelievable. If I touch a Tamei Meis, it depends what day I touch them. If I touch them on day 4, I'm only tummy for another 3 days. Touch them on day 5, I'm tummy for 2 days. You go by whatever's left for them. And the Myraya quotes from Perkmanos Kus and the Gemara Nida, Yahweh Ragos, Ahava Mina there, Kamash Pulan, you don't say it because of a pasuk. So it's like Xeris Akasif. What's the Lundis? Beautiful. Rav Shechter explains this in Ikve Atzon that when it comes to a Nida or a Zava, we don't say this. Why? Because a Nida is fully Tameh until Tahar. It's not like until she finishes her 7 days, it gets less and less and less and less, and then disappears. When it comes to Azava, when it comes to Anida, you know what the Torah is telling me with Akzir Sakasiv? She's fully Azava or Anida until she's not. Period. It doesn't get diluted over time. So even if I touch Azava on day 6, I become fully Tame. I don't just say whatever's left for her. Masha Enkein, Tumas Meis. So if the Rishash is right, you could argue on the Diak, maybe this is only on the Rabbana level, not on the Daraisa level, but unlike, if you say the Rishash is right, Tamei Meis, it gets less and less and less as you go through the week. Fascinating discussion. Whenever somebody has to wait 7 days for anything, does it become more diluted over that time, or no? It's fully until it's finished. Right? That is the lumdis of this Rishash. Right here, Chagiga Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Good. We continue now. Says the Gemara. So we finally came up with the case that Rabbi Lazar could agree with our Mishnah. Usually he requires when you finish a Kli for Kodesh, it needs to be Tovelt and that's it. But when it comes to be used for the Mechatas, we give it a higher level of Tumah status, which would require waiting for Harif Shemesh. Right? We give it the status of a Tameh Meis on day 7 after the Hazah, and therefore you have to wait till Harif Shemesh. Ask the Gemara one final question. Vatanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa, me olam lochichu davar bapara? In Para Aduma, they never came up with newfangled type of dinim, right? Even though there are many chumras that we have by Para Aduma, don't we have a Braisa that says there's never anything new? So here, there's something new that you give it the status of something on day 7 after Azah. That sounds pretty new. So the Gemara says, Amar Abai, no. That Braisa was only meant in a very limited context. Shalo Amru Kardo Matami Moshav. What that Braisa meant was that they didn't have a rule breaker to give something the status of Tumash Moshav that's not usually sat on. Remember we said already 2 days ago, we're going to have the Gemara right now, that something is only Matami Moshav, meaning if the Zav sits on it, if it's normally sat on. A couch, a pillow, normally, if a Zav sits on a fork, that fork doesn't become an Av, doesn't become a Mishkav Hazav, right? So that rule is never broken by Parah Aduma. We don't say a fork is going to be considered a Mishkav Hazav. That's all the Braisa meant. Kidatanya, and here's the Braisa. Here's that halacha. Vayoshev ala kli, somebody who sits on a kli, yachal kafas sa'ah v'yashav aleha. You might think that if you turn over a container that holds a sa'ah, and you sat on it, tirka v'yashav aleha, or if you sit on turn over a kli that holds two kav, and you sat on it. Yehi Tameh, you might think it becomes Tameh, like you and Av. Tameh Lomer, Vahayoshev al Hakli Asher Yeshev Alav. That's normally sat on Yitma. Misha Miyuchal Yeshiva, only Tameh that's normally sat on. Yotza Zesha Omrim Lo Amod Nasem Alachtenu. Unlike this Kli, which will say, can I please have that? Can I please use that for what I need? So that type of Kli does not become a Mishkav Azav. That's the Drushas Chazal. On a Daraisa level, only something that is normally sat on. Remember the lumdis we quoted from Rav Soloveitchik relating to how that works. There's no mitame and nitma in that context. There's only a magdir. It's hugdar as mishkav azov, and then memeila kadosh baruch hu is mitameid with the dine hatorah. Again, a lot of lumdis there, but we'll have to leave it for now. Just one point: Rabbi Nachum Zemba isok has a chakira. Does it mean that it's not even a maisa yeshiva? Or it's a Maisa Yeshiva, but it's not considered Tame. And the Nafkamina might be that Rabbeinu Tam that we said. Meaning, is it at least Metame the next level down? Let's say somebody, you sit on a cushion that's sitting on top of a fork. So you say the fork is not Metame Mishkav, but is it Metame the next level down? Right, that it's touched or not, so it might depend whether it's considered a Maisa Yeshiva at all or not. That's a Chakira. Okay, let's go next. Next one on the list, Hakli Mitzarev, number 7. The kli is betzare mashem besochal hakodesh avlo l'truma. The kli is betzare if it combines everything in it for kodesh, meaning if a part of what's in it becomes tameh, everything in it becomes tameh, even if they're not touching each other, if it's all in the same kli, but not for truma. Remember the tosas we had earlier, right? What if you don't find this by chulin anywhere, or by kli shares, we spoke about chala, right, bizman hazeh. So that is a discussion we had earlier in the tosas. Minoni mili, where's the source for tziruf? Where's the source for saying all different items within a kli are all considered one? Amar Avchanin to Amarkra. It's the pasuk in Naso. Kaf achas asara zahav malea ketores. A spoon. Kaf achas asara zahav malea ketores, full of ketores. It says kaf achas. One kaf. Hakasav asa'o lakom asheba kaf achas. It says kaf achas. So we darshan everything in the kaf is considered one in that regard. Good. Okay, we'll stop here. Maybe just one other har on the last point we made, because we have a moment for it. We're going to get into the next sugya Bez Hashem next time. And that is, actually, no, something on the last point. We say Malea Ketores. Kavazazo Malea Ketores. So again, the Achronim ask, is Ketores Makabal Tuma? Just like we said before. Is the Efer Chatos? So he says, well, maybe Ketores, that's with the context where the Gemara applies, Chibas HaKodesh. That even though it's not a Dover HaRoy LaChila, but maybe you'd consider it, because of Chibas HaKodesh, a Dover HaRoy LaKabal Tuma. But there is a Tosfos in Meseches Nida on Daf Nun, where Tosfos is Mechalik, Ketores is like a spice. So he's Mechalik between two different spices. Some spices we put in a pot and we use it, it's considered edible. And some spices we just put in for flavoring, and it's not really edible. So maybe that's a difference within spices, whether they're like makabel tumah or not. Maybe certain tavlin in the ketores, certain related spices, are edible. They are roy to eat. It's not just used for flavoring, but they are roy l'achila themselves. And therefore, you wouldn't even need chibas hakodesh in that context. But that's an important hour of tosfos, a nida that's mechalik between two types of spices regarding the halacha of Chibas HaKodesh. Okay, we'll stop here. We're in the middle of number seven. Middle of number seven in terms of the chilukim. Okay, we'll stop here, but then we'll get into the rest of them on tomorrow's daf.